The book of 2 Corinthians, please, and chapter 12. As I sat there listening to ministry that certainly must be searching to every one of us, I thought maybe it would be more appropriate to have some silence, to stop and think about it. Maybe even more necessary than what I have to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's read it verse 1. Some of you who were here last night will know that I read from this passage then, and I'm making no apology for doing it now. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up even to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to offer to utter. Of such an one will I glory. Yet of myself, selflessness? Of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool. I would be telling the truth. I would say the truth, he says. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be. Don't you hate it when that happens? When people think of you more highly, when they give you a place of honor or distinction, when they seem to recognize something in you that you just feel a little edgy about. He says, I would not want any man to think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, my power is being made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. I can't remember a single time in my life when I did that. Most gladly, therefore, he says, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, may cover me, may clothe me. What a submissive man. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities or weaknesses, in reproaches or injuries, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Some of you who were here last evening will know that I spoke in the earlier part of this passage, having an experience with God. And if there's one thing that every one of us need in a greater intensity than ever, it's this. If we're going to stand in this world and live in this world and be the kind of people we ought to be in this world, we need We require experience with God. It's so important. But as I look at this passage, what I see here is an encounter with thorns. If yesterday we spoke about the ecstasy, then this is the agony. Here we find a person with problems, with difficulties. Some of them are enumerated in this passage, and they're used in God's excellent way to balance him for his own purposes and to his own glory. Overall, as you look at this passage, maybe you say that troubles and difficulties, they're the common lot of every believer in some way or another. But here we find that this experience that Paul passes through certainly had a clear intention. It was God's purpose, as Paul saw it, to balance him, lest the glory of it all should somehow unbalance him and he become less effective for God. There are those who would say many things about Paul. He's a hero. Others would say he's a hypocrite. Some would boast about him. Some would believe everything that was ever said to them about him. Some would disown his claims, but only God really knew him. And I want to speak just for a few moments at the close of this morning session about his concern. His concern that no man think of me above that which he seeth me to be. Secondly, I want you to think about his complaint. The thorn. That was not a ride in an amusement park. The thorn. An encounter with thorns. Secondly, I'd like to speak a little bit about how it was conveyed to him. And then I'd like to speak a little about the cause of it. And lastly, the question. That's with a C. Just to keep them all lined up. The question. First of all, think with me just a little bit about his concern. John was mentioning how that it was that word sincere that was so evident in the Lord Jesus. No wax, no fillers. All real. And as I look at this man, he didn't want others to think of him in some way that wasn't right. He wanted to measure up in God's sight. He wanted to be seen for the man he was for God. Is that how we want to be seen? Is that what testimony we want people to bear about us? What they can see is real. What they hear is an experience with God that's able to be spoken. What they value is what's genuine. Here's a man who was concerned about an honest estimate of his life because he knew that the day was coming, and he always had in view, didn't he? That day when he would stand before his Lord and where everything would be seen, everything would be disclosed. Everything would be identified just as it was. His concern. All of us should be aware, may we need reminding, that anything of show in our life, anything that's but a human display in our life, is objectionable to God. And you know what this world needs? This world needs people who are real, genuine, true, faithful, holy men of God. That's what the world needs to see. I remember a conference I didn't go to, and I asked my host and hostess who had been there, I said, how did it go last night? Speaking of the gospel meeting. And my host, who is known for maybe being blunt, he said it was a professional preach. It caught my attention. He said it was a professional preach. I wanted to know what he meant. I still want to know all that he meant. But I thought, how sad to think that a person might go along to a gospel meeting or to a ministry meeting or to a conference gathering, and all they hear is something that on the outside looks and sounds good, and it hasn't affected our lives, and it doesn't affect anyone else's life. Paul's concern was he wanted people to have the right view, because he knew the day was coming when he'd be seen for what he was. And that day is coming for you. And that day is coming for me. We're going to stand before our Lord. Oh, we need to be careful how we speak about others. Who art thou that condemns another man's servant? But the day is coming when our service, our word, our life will be seen in all that it means for God, plus no wax, no gloss, no polish, just what's real. Humility, if such be in our life, showcases the Lord Jesus' life all the better. Because any sense in which we might feel real or humbled or genuine only tells us over and over again that we have a nature that so very often betrays us. But the Lord Jesus, in all His purity and in all His holiness, lived a life completely, totally, entirely pleasing to God. What a life He lived. What a death He died. What a glory to His God. Paul was concerned that no one think of Him above what they ought. You know, there are people that we might well esteem. We esteem them for their labors. We esteem them for their compassion. We esteem them for their care. And all of that may be well and true, but don't enshrine them. Don't put them on a pedestal. For one thing, they might fall off that pedestal. And for another thing, God might push them off. God wants us to be seen for what's real. And so did He. So easy to forget that everything you've got, everything I have, whether it's possessions or skills or abilities or mind, whatever it might be, everything comes from God. And isn't it wonderful to think that the Lord, He knows how to balance our blessings and our burdens, even when we don't. The complaint was the thorn. Paul was showing me last night in his Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he has a thorn. I looked at it, it was about that long. I thought about the damage it could do. But I also thought it was nothing like this thorn. This was not something he just stumbled upon. It wasn't just that he got into a pile of thickets. This was a sharpened stake. This was something that was intended. This is something that was conveyed. In fact, this is something that was given. Sometimes we complain about things that are so trivial. And then I look at some people and they never complain about anything, and you know they're carrying tremendous burdens. You know, the weight on their life must be almost impossible to bear. And as we think of Paul's thorn, why, there's lots of speculation around. It may have been his eyesight. It might have been some weakness or illness. It might have been an unbecoming appearance. Oh, there's all kinds of conjecture about what it was. But there's one thing that was obvious. It was physical. And it was painful. It was in the flesh. Something about it sincerely hurt him. An eyewitness account is given of Paul. And in history, we can read it. This is what it says. He saw Paul coming, a man little of stature, thin-haired, crooked in the legs, of good state of body, eyebrows joining, and nose somewhat hooked. That's quite a description. But that's not all it says. And I was struck by this as I read it. Listen, full of grace. Wow. Is all people see of you the physical, the outward, the handsome youth that it'll change, believe me. Is that all they see? A man full of grace. It goes on to say, sometimes he appeared like a man. But listen to this. And sometimes he had the face of an angel. What was it that made that tremendous transformation? It didn't happen naturally. It didn't happen accidentally. It was something that God was working out in that man's life. It was something that God was bringing to pass. And God used the thorn to balance him. I know some of you haven't experienced many things that you might have called hindrances in your Christian life thus far. In fact, you may have had nearly every advantage. And every possible blessing. And I thank God for that. And now is the time to get your feet firmly settled on those things that you believe, that are going to guide your life, those things that you can count on and be sure of, because testing time can come. And just as real as this test was, and just as real as the result was in the life of Paul, so God is working in everything to bring about his purpose in you and me, that you might be a person like Paul, full of grace, with a face like the face of an angel. I look at some dear older sisters, and I guess more sisters than brethren, but I look at some of the dear older sisters that we've met at Elam Homes. And I think of all the miles they traveled and of all the years that they spent. Many of them were serving years. But those serving years are over. And the lines have come. And the spine is stooped. And the weakness is there. And they get a face like an angel. God, real in their lives, even in moments of extremity and great difficulty and challenges that still keep coming at them, God gave this thorn as a means to preserve Paul's usefulness for himself. And if God sends a thorn your way, remember, there's a higher plan and there's a greater purpose. I want you to think about how it was conveyed. It was passed on with purpose. It could have brought this man down. And you know, if difficulties come your way, just remember, it could take you down. You could become discouraged and bitter, angry. Maybe you'd even fling away your trust in God and play the fool And that would be a tremendous tragedy. It was purposeful. It was to build godly character. You say, this is Paul you're talking about. Doesn't he have enough godly character? Maybe most of us would be satisfied if we had what he had. But God wasn't. Brothers and sisters, let your God work his will. Allow him to take the way he sees best. You notice not only was it purposeful in that it was God that allowed it, it was actually a gift from God. You say, wow, I was hoping for more. And it's not very well wrapped either. It's a thorn. It hurts. It's painful. It's difficult. It's a challenge to me. It hinders me in my work. And I think that that was one of Paul's greatest grievances, that he was afraid it would hold him back. And we sing it, but forget it. Ill that God blesses is our good. And unblessed good is ill. And all is right that seems most wrong if it be his sweet will. But you notice it was a messenger of Satan. God used the evil one to bring about good. He says to buffet me, to beat, to bruise. Now you say, just a minute. Wasn't it Paul who said, I beat my body black and blue in order to subject those things that aren't helpful and in order to pursue this pathway I'm on for God? Yeah, that was him. But this is a chosen vessel. This is a special instrument for God. And sometimes to mold and shape that special instrument for God, he sends the thorn. He conveys it to us like a gift. I sometimes feel such empathy for people who seem to pass through so much in the matter of health. As I mature, I notice that my friends are having troubles. Some of them have a lot more troubles than I've ever had. And as I look at them and I think about them, maybe I'm just empathetic by nature, but my heart goes out to them sometimes as I think of what they're experiencing. And then I think, God must love them very much. God must trust them to a great extent. God must have purposes for them, even now, that God loves them to pass that way. The cause. Sometimes we ask why. Why bad things happen? Seemed like a good fellow. Seemed like he was being greatly used of God. Why should this hindrance come his way? Why should he experience this? You know, sometimes we suffer because we do things foolishly. Sometimes. And sometimes we suffer because we're disobedient. And we just get what the natural course brings to us. It's consequences. And sometimes we suffer merely because we're human in our frailty. There's no doubt that there are various failures in our bodies. And there's more to come, guys. And those things can trouble us and disturb us. But in a sense, well, they come to us just because we're human. And maybe we could blame in general the problem of sin. And aging and death will come our way. But it would be so wrong to assume that everything that happens is a judgment from God. Sometimes I think in heaven's court, we be called in contempt of court. As we don't understand his ways, and we haven't yet grasped that he has more noble purposes than simply getting even, like we might. Rather, maybe we should have the thought that comes forth in the Gospel of John, chapter 9, the blind man. And the Lord Jesus says, this blindness, it happened that God's works might be fully revealed in him. Or when you come to Lazarus in John 11, he died. And the hurt and the sorrow and the tears. But the Lord Jesus says, this is for the glory of God. Why is it we're so slow to recognize that in life's experiences, in the difficulties that might attach themselves or come our way, that there must be some consequence involved? When God has spared you and I from the greatest consequence of all, our sin and our guilt before him, calls for eternal judgment, and yet, thank God, there was one who was willing to die in our place. Do you ever notice, walking along one of the shores of the Great Lakes, how sometimes you step on sharp stones, and they're rough? That's in the quiet bays, in the sheltered coves. But you get to the places where the waves pound in. Relentlessly ongoing, you'll find that they're smooth. And in the purposes of God, sometimes he smooths out the roughness in our lives by allowing so far those things that come our way with his glorious purposes in view. I want you to think as well about his cry, Paul's prayer. He spoke to God. This is a man who had prayed constantly, continuously for Israel. My heart's burden and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be delivered. And for God's people, oh, the burden that he carried for the churches, no doubt it weighed him down. But this man, when it comes to his prayer of supplication to God, three times, he prayed that that thorn might depart from him. How like his Lord Jesus he was. We've been hearing about that likeness today. How like him he was. And yet I'm sure Paul would have said, how unlike him I am. But here he is, like his Lord, who prayed three times at Gethsemane. Paul prays three times that it might depart from him. And I think his greatest burden was he felt like it might hinder him. He didn't want anything to stop him. He didn't want anything to put fences, so to speak, around his service for the Lord. He prays to God it might depart. And not only did he speak to God, but God spoke to him. God spoke to him. My grace is enough for you. And tenderly he says it again. My grace is sufficient for you. And as Paul prays the third time, he gets the same answer. My grace is sufficient for you. And to hear his voice and accept it, it was enough. Has God been speaking to you? Are we slow to accept the reason for God's answer to our prayers? The Bible tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, and it's not lying. It is true. Sometimes God's answer isn't what we expect, but it's his answer. Are we willing to accept it? My grace is sufficient for you. Notice his submission in this. Notice it. Please don't miss it. That the power of Christ may clothe me. That the power of Christ might cover me. He didn't want this to ever be missed in his life. He wanted all the power, all the strength of his Lord to accompany his words and his witness. He wanted to be effective for God and his glory. He didn't want anything to stop it. And so he bows in submission to the word from God. My Bible still says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. My Bible still tells me, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My Bible still speaks truth from God's throne that affects our lives today. Paul had gone to heaven, and now he discovers heaven comes to him. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. He accepted the answer, and he got the blessing. He had encountered the thorn, and he accepted the answer of his God. Our God is still the God of all grace. Still today. Still at this hour. Still at this moment. His throne is yet and always will be a throne of grace. And the promise from God is simple and clear. He gives more grace. He still speaks. My grace is enough for you. May God bless us.